The Gospel of John, chapter 1. You know, if this time of season, if you were to ask people what they wanted for Christmas, well, wait a minute. What do y'all want for Christmas? Come on. Now let's be practical. What do you want for Christmas? Huh? Come on, somebody.
My two front teeth.
Your two front teeth. Wait a minute, I should write a song about that. Somebody else, what do you want for Christmas? Yes, ma'am. I mean, let's get some tangible things here. You know, like a brand new Ferrari or, you know, just go crazy. Why not? Lamborghini, whatever. Come on, somebody. Do I have to tell you what I want for Christmas? Oh, I don't have to tell you what I want for Christmas, and you already know what I want for Christmas. But most of the time when we ask that kind of question, you hear trees and decorations, that kind of thing, lights, eggnog, presents, you know, we want all of those things. And yes, we want peace and we want joy, but we also want to have fun, don't we? Nod your head, yeah, we want to have fun. I think that's something we should really relish as Christians, is the ability to have fun. I mean, good, clean, fun. You know, people at this time of year don't want to hear about the Lord Jesus hanging on the cross. They don't want to hear about that at all. But you know what they will hear? The baby in the manger. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. They'll listen to those kinds of things, and that's a great opportunity for us to extend the story, as who was it that used to say, and now you know the rest of the story? Thank you. Paul Harvey used to say that. Well, that's the opportunity we have when we talk about the manger and we talk about the baby and all of that. We have the opportunity to tell them the rest of the story. So that's exciting stuff. But you know, sometimes Christmas can be a real hassle, right? Yeah. You're rushed and you're pushed for time. You spend money you don't have on people you don't even like to give them things that they won't use forever. You know, every year I get something like that. It's always wonderful, and I always say thank you, and I have a closet full of them, as you can see with my ties. Okay, go ahead. But in our struggle to get it right, sometimes we get it dead wrong. We really do. And we end up making ourselves and making other people miserable. So how can Christmas be a time of joy and a time of wonder instead of being stressed out and tension? I mean, how can we really have joy even in the midst of sorrow? Well, John chapter 1 reveals some ingredients that are essential to having a joyful Christmas. So would you stand with me in honor of God's word? John chapter 1, I'm going to be reading the first four verses and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Father, thank you so much for your Word, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would sink it into our hearts and into our minds, that we would understand how great a joy we have. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I realize this is not a traditional Christmas text. It really isn't. John doesn't write about angels. He doesn't write about the shepherds or the stars. But he does do something that no other gospel does. He tells us what we need to know to have the best Christmas. Christmas is filled with so many distractions, you know, between all the personalities and the presents and the parties. I'm not saying those things are wrong. I mean, they're just distractions. They really are. It's easy to forget the real reason for this day that we're celebrating. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he, what's the next word? Gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Another verse that's not a traditional Christmas verse is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What a statement that is. That word indescribable means it can't be fully explained. And it's only used in this passage, speaking of the Lord Jesus. So let's look at that gift. the Lord Jesus. Number one, he's eternally God. That's what John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And that phrase means that the Word has always existed. Now, as I said, I know we have some Greek scholars here, but that word was is in the imperfect tense. And it signals an action in the past that's going on in the present that will continue into the future. So it's one of those things. The Word is eternal. It's always been here and will always be here. Before there was anything, there was the Word of God. Jesus had his birth in Bethlehem, but not his beginning. He didn't begin. Colossians 1:15, Paul said, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything and was created and is supreme over all creation. That's that baby in the manger. So our gift is eternally God, but not only that, he's equally God. Equally God. That the word is the word logos, and it means speech. It refers to the spoken word. Jesus is the perfect expression of Almighty God. He is everything God is. And when he says he was with God, that word means face to face. He was with God. He was God's equal. He was God in human form. But not only that, he's essentially God. And the Word was God. So not only do we have him existing, and he is eternal, and he's equal with God, but he is essentially God. That's the clearest statement of deity of Jesus Christ in the entire Scripture. And the Word was God. Co-eternal, co-equal, God. That's why the Lord Jesus could say in John chapter 8, verse 58, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. If you remember that, and you remember that the Jews knew what that meant, all the way back in the book of Exodus, remember when Moses came scuffling along and saw a bush that was burning, but it wasn't being consumed, and he went up, and God said, take your shoes off, where you're standing is holy ground. And Moses said, who shall I tell them sent me? And he said, tell them I am that I am. You see, God is not the God of the past. He's the God of now. He's really not the God of the future. Because for God, everything is now. I mean, there is nothing else. I am. Then in John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Now, there's a lot of debate goes on about, oh, that just means he's one like him and so forth. No. Keep reading, and you'll see that the Jews took up stones to stone him because he claimed he was God. So they knew what he was talking about. And then John 14:8, he says, He that has seen me has seen the Father. Wow. When God sent his Son into the world, he sent one who was eternally, equally, and essentially God. When that angel in Luke chapter 2 said, Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, he is announcing at that point the birth of God in human flesh. Human flesh. All throughout his life, he proved who he was. From peace be still, you remember when the disciples were in the storm and they were just... And here comes Jesus walking on the water and says, peace be still. Boom. To thy sins be forgiven thee, and then to rise up and walk to that cripple. What an amazing thing that was, because he said, your sins be forgiven you. And the Pharisee says, wait a minute, only God can forgive sins. And so Jesus said, okay, just so you know that I am who I say I am, take up your bed and walk. And the guy got up and did one of those moon dance things, and off he went. I mean, that's amazing stuff. To Lazarus, come forth. You remember the dead man? Lazarus, brother, he loved him, and yet he was dead 4 days. Oh, Lord, if you'd only been here 3 days ago, because it's 4 days and he stinks. In other words, he's rotten. And Jesus said, roll the stone away. Lazarus, come forth. You know what happened next? Lazarus came forth. And I say this over and over again when I talk about this. Had he not used his name Lazarus, every person that had ever been dead would have come up. So he was very specific about that. It's a wonderful thing to know that the truth and the power of his deity was on constant display all the way through his life. Every word, every deed, every miracle declared him to be God. And so he is the greatest gift that has ever been given. Now today we lit the candle of joy and we sang, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." You know why we sing it that way? Because Christmas is not joy to America. It's not a national joy. It is not joy to the Caucasian. No, it's not a racial joy. It's not joy to the West. It's not a cultural joy, or joy to the rich, or joy to the educated, or joy to the happy, or joy to the healthy. None of those things makes any sense. It is joy to the world. It's a universal joy. And Jesus alone is the joy of Christmas. That little baby in that manger. The greatest demonstration of God's power is when he added humanity to his own deity. And he came and he lived and he died. Now we know this Christmas story from Matthew and we know it from Luke and we're reading it here in John. That's the human story of the birth. Let me give you a Christmas story from heaven's point of view. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 says, "You must have the same attitude that Christ had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and took the position of a slave and was born as a human being." Well, there's a Christmas story from heaven's perspective. So who was it that was born in Bethlehem that morning? Well, number one, he's the maker of creation. Isn't that what John 1:3 just said? God, he created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. When you consider that this verse says that Jesus is the creator of the universe, his birth as a baby becomes even more amazing. The creator of creation humbled himself and became a creature in the creation. God became dependent on a human mother. Folks, that wasn't just a show. It really wasn't. He wasn't just faking it. I mean, he was a real baby. I mean, he watched his hands in amazement. You know how you see little babies, they'll put their, wow, check that out. You know, I got five on either hand, but they're backwards, you know, every time babies do that all the time. And like other babies, he didn't understand words. He needed to be changed. He needed to be fed. He needed to be washed. He needed to be cared for just like any other baby. God in the flesh had to learn how to talk. He had to learn how to walk. He had to learn how to feed himself. Wow. That's why there's joy in the world, because God has come as one of us. In Hebrews chapter 2, it says, "We also know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham." And oh, by the way, are we descendants of Abraham? Yes, if we're Christians, we are a part of Abraham's seed. "Therefore," he said, "it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and his sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God." He came to be like us so that he might change us to be like him. Let me say that again. He came to be like us so that he might change us to be like him. Amen. Jesus, the creator, stepped out of eternity, laid aside his glory, and entered the world as a baby. Now, I want to read Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 is an interesting passage, because it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in the dream. And he said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived of the Holy Spirit.'" Conceived of the Holy Spirit. Folks, it gets more technical than that. He became an embryo, which became a fetus, which became a baby. Luke 2:21 says, "He was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel, even before he was conceived." Folks, that's the power behind Christmas. That's why this season is not about trees and tinsel or packages and parties or meals and even mistletoe. We don't have any mistletoe here, do we? Oh, well, okay. Just note to somebody. This season is about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the maker of creation. But not only that, he's the master of creation, too. He is the master. Not only did he make this universe, his power holds this universe together. Listen to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He existed prior to all things, and in him all things hold together. Wow. You realize Jesus is the glue of the galaxy. I mean, he holds it all together. He made it, and he holds it together. Okay, great, Pastor. So what's that all mean? All right, that's it. It means God's in control of Christmas. Amen? Amen. Because it looks like the world's spinning out of control, but it's not. It's in the hands of the one who made it all, the one who controls it all. And he was born as an infant. He lived in poverty and in rejection, only to die a horrible death on a cross. And he did it all because he loved you, because he loved me. Peter said, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring us safely home to God. So, what is the joy of Christmas? Is it a fat man in a red suit giving out gifts? I don't think so. Is it red-nosed reindeer or a magical snowman? No. Is it elves or presents or meals or even, dare I say, our families? No. The joy of Christmas is God in a stable. That's it. That's the joy of Christmas. That's the reason we celebrate this day. That's the essence of the whole season. Verse 4 in John 1 says, in him was life, and life was the light of men. The light shined in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Wow. So why did the Creator become part of the creation? Why did he put on human flesh and walk among us? Why did he come into this world to live and to die? Folks, what the real reason, the real purpose of Christmas is Jesus came to bring life into deadness. You see, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He entered a world full of dead people, lost in their sins, wandering about in this lifetime. And when that lost person finds Jesus, they pass from death unto life. If you're a Christian here this morning, you know that place. You know what it was like before you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you know what it is like after you do it. Does that mean we're perfect? No. Well, maybe. No, she wasn't perfect either. Okay, no one's perfect, but with the Lord Jesus Christ, we are perfect in him. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my words, believes on him that sent me, has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death unto life. And when that happens, folks, everything changes. Everything changes. Paul said, if anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things are passing away. All these new things are coming into our lives. So we need to realize that Jesus is the strength of our earthly life. Psalm 73, verse 26, David said, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. See, we're alive today only by God's grace. That's the reason we're here. Job said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, naked I shall return. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, he makes life possible. He really does. But he's also the secret to an effective life. In John 10, he says, I've come to give them life and to give it to them more abundantly. That word abundantly means superior, extraordinary, surpassing, uncommon. That's the kind of life Jesus gives to his children. He gives life purpose and worth and dignity and joy. But not only that, he's also the source of eternal life. It would be great if Jesus were all of those things, but if he couldn't give us eternal life, we're of all men most miserable, right? Those who know Jesus by faith will live eternally. That's what he said. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish." You see, real living is more than just walking and talking. It is an abundant, joyful life. And it's only found in the Lord Jesus. 1 John 5:12 says, "He that hath the Son hath life." Whew. Amen, right. Jesus came to bring life out of deadness, and he also came to bring light into darkness. John 8:12, Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." He came to deliver those who are in darkness. He came to bring them into the glorious light. Paul said, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world. And because you are, walk as children of light." I mean, we need to act like who we are as Christians. God's gift is to bring light into darkness. Just like he stood on the brink of creation and said, "Let there be light." Boy, I can remember back, there was a day when he took the darkness of my life and gave it the light of life. Paul said, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus." And the really sad thing, folks, is that this world stumbles blindly in the dark, looking for light in all the wrong places. They reject it even when it comes their way. Jesus said, "And this is the condemnation, that life has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil." You know, this act, we all know this for a fact. This world is trying to quench the light of the Lord Jesus in every way that they can. Every way that they can. But you know what? I got good news. I got some really good news. The light that shone brightly in eternity past, the light that beamed at Bethlehem's manger, the light that shone for 33 years when Jesus was here and flickered only briefly at Calvary, only to explode in the empty tomb, will continue to light our pathway all the way through eternity. It's interesting that so many people are looking for the perfect gift. I know I've gone through catalog after catalog after catalog, looking for the perfect gift for my wife, seriously. And I'll take any suggestions that you have. All she told me was something like this, something like this, or something like this. Now, what does that mean?
Bling.
Yeah, bling. That's exactly what it means. It means bling. Yes. Yes, it's a lot of dollars. But God's the only one who can give the perfect gift, folks. And that's just what he did when he came as the baby Jesus. You see, if our greatest need had been information, he would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need was technology, he would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need was money, he would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need was pleasure, he would have sent us an entertainer. But he gave our greatest need because our greatest need was forgiveness. And so we needed a Savior. And that's what God sent. He gave his Son, which is the greatest gift. So Jesus came to give life to dead souls and light to the darkened hearts. Paul said, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." Christ died for us. And once we receive him as our Lord and Savior, he loves us so much. He died for us. But he loves us enough that he doesn't want to leave us where we are. He wants to take us higher. He's got so much more for us. I read a story about a father who called a family conference together for all of his wife and his children. And he said, "I want this year to be more disciplined. I want to get along and be sweet to everybody. I want to have a great atmosphere in this home. Let's make Christmas the greatest Christmas ever." And his little second grade son said, "Daddy, we can't make this the best Christmas ever. And why can't we make it? Because there's no way to improve on the first Christmas. That's the greatest Christmas there ever was. You see, the best news we'll ever hear at Christmas is, joy to the world, the Lord has come. So, you going to have a good Christmas this year? You can, but you got to remember, to have the greatest Christmas, Jesus has got to be the center of it. God gave us that indescribable gift, but it's only ours when we receive it. If you look a little farther in John chapter 1, verse 10 says, He came into the very world He created, but the world did not recognize Him. He came to His own people, and they rejected Him. But to all who believed Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become the children of God. Reborn, not with physical birth resulting from human passion, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, do you want a joyful Christmas this year? Here's three things. If you don't get anything else, you can write these down. Be sure you're saved, that you know Him, that you've passed from death to life. Confess your sins. Ask Him to forgive you. He will. I know, because He did when I asked. If you're a Christian here, you know He did when you asked. Number two, be sure Christmas is about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And number three, be sure and give Him the glory that's due His name. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for this passage of Scripture. Although it's not a traditional Christmas sermon or message, it still tells us about the reason for Christmas. God stepped out of heaven and became a man, became a baby, lived a perfect life, died a sacrificial death, and was raised to life everlasting. Father, I'm so grateful for every person here who knows You as Lord and Savior of their lives. If there's anyone here that doesn't, who has a question, whatever the need is in our lives, I know You can meet that need. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit would minister in a very special way this morning. Guide us in all that we do. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.